You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Tanya Pinkins. Welcome back for part two of my conversation with Jay Armstrong Johnson. You're listening to You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network. Well, you're famous now, but before you were famous, when you just were gay, what did that church community say?
You know, my church was pretty liberal when I'm looking back on it. They allow gay pastors. My favorite youth minister growing up just came out as bisexual on Facebook a few months ago. So it's... I think it was more my Baptist upbringing, because that was the first half of my life when I was younger. It was that Southern Baptist mentality that kind of poured over into my more liberal church life. So really, I think it was more of what I would hear from my family, because, you know, my family's very racist. They're very Christian, very racist, very white. I grew up in a community called White Settlement, for fuck's sake. I mean, actually, that's where I was.
What does that mean?
Apparently, the person that settled White Settlement, their last name was White. But that just happened to be the community that I was born into. So it's just funny.
So when was your first encounter with a person of another thing that wasn't white?
It was probably pretty early, because White Settlement was technically like one of the worst parts of town in Fort Worth. It's like,
so you all were poor white people.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's a whole nother thing.
Oh yeah. Cause the racism's even deeper in those poor white communities. And so I remember very distinctly the first girl I had a crush on in the first grade. Her name was Danielle, and she was a female of color, and I had such a crush on her. But I also remember something very vaguely that, like, that wasn't right. I kept hearing, that's not what we do, you know? And the further my dad found himself in the business world, the further we got away from that white settlement. We went to the better part of town, where all of a sudden I went to the school district where there was a whole bunch of white people and just like a little sprinkle of black and brown, you know? And so the richer we got, the further we got away from the minorities in our Fort Worth area, which is something that I kind of have hindsight about as an adult that I wasn't quite aware of. And the wider that it got, the more racist that it got, and anti-homosexual, anti-anything, not heteronormative. I mean, I wasn't made fun of for being gay until I found myself in that new, very white school district. Mm. I didn't even know what gay was until someone could kind of smell it on me at that very white school, you know? Mm.
Yeah. What was that like? That sounds just, ugh.
I mean, I cried myself to sleep most nights. You know, I mean, when you're told that homosexuality is an abomination and you're a third grader and you have this guy and that guy and that girl calling you gay Jay, and it's just so funny because your name rhymes with the goddamn word as well. You know, it rings over and over again.
Right.
So, yeah.
Does that heal? Does that ever heal?
I'm really not quite sure. I think that because I have a sense of humor, I can kind of flip it. Like, I love using the word faggot to mean cool. Like, oh, yes, faggot. You know, like, I like taking words back. You know, like, I feel like a lot of females take back the word bitch. Yes, bitch. You know, like, I like to just reframe things and, you know, yes. Oh, that was so gay. Like, you know, in the third grade, so gay meant just the worst. But here I am, a 33-year-old man, and gay means the best. It means happy, actually. Yeah, I don't know. But there's definitely still hurt there, for sure. But I don't know.
Do you think you're a role model?
I think that I am. Mostly because of this social media thing. Because I have kids reaching out to me, sliding into my DMs, thanking me for creating a world where they could live. You know, I didn't have social media growing up, and so I didn't have gay mentors until I actually like saw one for the first time at age 15. But I'm now having the 15-year-old find me on a YouTube video of me kissing another boy and singing a musical theater song about being gay. And all of a sudden I've created a world for them that feels inclusive and harmonious and happy and something to look forward to. So yeah, I do feel like at least for the LGBTQ plus community, I'm a bit of a role model.
Now, I mean, you know, it's still very difficult to be gay in the world.
Sure.
Do you still encounter, are there specific places that you travel where you have to be in fear or you still have to cover it up?
Yeah, I even sometimes fear, I'm fearful here in New York City every now and again. I think twice before I hold my partner's hand on the street, which sucks. I've had ice cream cones thrown at me from a window in Utah. You know, that I know that it's, and the vote that we just saw is a sure indication that, you know, the gays aren't necessarily the most uplifted people on the planet. So yeah, I don't feel necessarily 100% safe everywhere I go. I feel myself kind of hide a bit. I kind of go back to that 13-year-old boy, you know, closet myself for safety's sake.
What is, you think, like people always say, why do the black men vote for Trump? Why do the gays go for Trump? Women and men, what's that?
Oh my God. It's a, this whole misinformation, Fox News, just spreading pure falsities. Just like, I think that's what it is. My father only watches Fox News. It's the network of the Christians. It's the only one that they'll listen to because they'll quote a Bible verse before they tell you bullshit.
So oh my God.
It really is. It's this misinformation thing. And I think that when you are brainwashed in such a way, that's really all that you can think. It's like when I was a kid and I really truly didn't think I could possibly even be close to being gay because I was told the gay is this and I'm not that, you know, it's a brainwash thing. So I really do feel like it's just society and media and religion that really keeps people on a certain track, one way track in their minds about what is what. And it's usually because they want to enter the gates of heaven.
The art in your house looks spectacular.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I can just see behind you and it's like all these prints and it looks like some antique stuff and in gilded frames. Is that yours, your partner's?
Yep, most of it is mine. This is actually my caricature made by Justin Squiggs, who's like Broadway's caricature artist. My boyfriend got that for me for Christmas last year. So that's my damn face. Will and I got this when we went to Indonesia.
What's the big one that looks like a octopus?
Yeah, Will's favorite animal is actually an octopus.
Really? How did he like that My Octopus Teacher thing?
Oh, have you watched The Octopus Teacher thing yet? He hasn't even watched it yet. It's on our list of things. Did you watch it?
I didn't like it.
Didn't like it?
No, okay. I thought that man was crazy. He was like, he was having a relationship with an octopus. And I was like, you're just projecting all your craziness on that octopus. That octopus is not thinking about you.
Oh my God. The first trip that my partner and I took was to Hawaii. And I remember Will specifically liking this particular artist's version of octopi that she would create. And so for Christmas, I think last year, I researched the artist online and had her do a print of the octopus.
It's beautiful. You know, I just came from Korea and I have to tell you that I was still affected by seeing that octopus show because I did not enjoy eating octopus anymore. And they eat it live there. I didn't try. Yeah, they eat it live.
Wait, how do you do that?
They take the little baby octopuses and they put the whole live thing in their mouth. They do have a way where they cut it up and it just keeps moving and you got to chew it really fast because they say it'll suck on your insides of your throat.
Oh my God. I can't deal with that. No.
Yeah, they eat a lot of octopus in Korea. Live octopus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I didn't do it. I was not that adventurous. I wanted to, but I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't like octopus in general, even when they grill it. You know, it's not for me, really. I don't know.
Mm, well, I want to hear about that octopus show because I was like, this man needs some therapy. And everybody's like, oh, at the end, he was healed and he developed a relationship with his children because of the octopus. And I was like, the man had problems. If he needed an octopus to help him love his child and his wife, I can't learn anything from him.
Oh my God. We have to watch it now. Now I'm intrigued.
Now, you are so talented.
Thanks, Sonia.
Tell me what is in your heart. Like, what is your spirit saying, I got to do, I got to make? What is the thing in your spirit that's like, I got to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but the spirit is like, this thing I got to do. You may not know when you're going to do it, but there's this thing that you've been dreaming of. What is it?
Really, I kind of get versions of this question from like young artists. And I keep coming back to this lyric from Hamilton, actually, which is, I will never be satisfied. Mm. I will never be satisfied. And my dream was to be on Broadway, and I did it. And then my dream was to be on a television show, and I did it. And then my dream was to, yeah. So the dreams just keep piling. I believe I was called to be an artist. Like, my sister was called to go into ministry. I was called to go into art. And I thought it was at first to sing, and then I realized it was to dance, and then I realized that it was to act, and I could do all three. And so then to produce it, I don't know, the art that I create, I want it to create change. I remember playing Peter Pan at age 13 and having this little girl come up to me with tears in her eyes saying that I changed her life. And as a 13-year-old, to hear that come at you because of something you did, you had some play practice, and then your play practice went well, and you became Peter Pan, and you did the whole theater thing, and it was fun, and everyone clapped for you. But I realized in that moment that what I could be doing is creating change, that I could touch lives, that what I did wasn't just like to entertain and to get pictures taken of me and to have red carpets, but that like art does create change. It opens up communication. It starts conversation. And so that's what I want to do.
Is it your ministry?
I think so. I never considered myself a writer until a few years ago when I just started fucking writing. I never considered myself a producer until I realized that I didn't have any theater spaces to do anything. So I produced my own work because I wasn't getting the work myself. So my dad always told me to have a backup plan. And every time I became unemployed over the last 15, 17 years of my life, he would call me and say, well, son, you want to come work for me now that your Broadway show's closed? And I had to finally put my foot down about 3 years ago and be like, Dad, I'm an artist. I'm an actor. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to have a fallback plan. And I'm not going to come work for your company because this is my life. This is my calling. And this is what I'm going to do regardless. Sometimes it's going to be feast. Sometimes it's going to be famine. And that's just what I'm doing. So he finally got the picture. And he's stopped calling me every time I'm unemployed now. But yeah, I do think it's my calling. I do think it's my ministry. I want to create so much more. I want to reach so many more people. I mean, the Halloween show that we just did has almost reached 60,000 people. 60,000 people on YouTube, which blows my mind, because when we do the show live in New York City, it's 300 people in the audience and we do two shows. And so it's like, you know, 600 people get to watch the show. Oh, congratulations. You raised a few grand for Broadway Cares. But when you get to put it on a screen, you get to reach so many more people.
Yes.
And raise so much more money. And so I'm really wanting to lean in to this art form, creating art within a frame. It really can create more change, which I'm sure Red Pill is just going to like already.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'm with you with it. Isn't that I'm never satisfied, but I like expanding, and expanding means risking and failing. And like my motto is, brilliance lies in the moment that might not work. Oof. So, you know, making this movie, it was like, oh, I need to be running a studio. I need to be running a country. I have that much energy. Like people are like, you have so much energy. I do. And I fail all the time. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I know how you don't do that. Okay, let me go try some more ways. And that excites me. Failing it's not fun.
Right.
But it's like, okay, now I know what you don't do. Let me keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that not everybody has that.
That's amazing that you just said that, because when someone asks me what's my biggest fear, I always say fear of failure. And so the fact that you are using failure, it's like flipping the word gay to mean something better now, or taking the word faggot and taking it back. You're taking the word failure, which is the scary word to me, my biggest fear, and you're showing me how to flip it on its ass and work for me as opposed to against me.
Oh, honey, the most successful people have failed the most.
There it is.
If you haven't failed, you ain't trying hard enough.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Because if you're going to do something brilliant, it means you're doing something nobody did. So you got to avoid all the things that have been done. Yeah. Like
fear has no place.
Well, no, fear is when I know, oh, I'm working at the level I need to be working at.
There it is.
Oh, shit. I might really fuck shit the bed this time. Let's go.
Let's go. That's right. Okay.
That's the edge I'm looking for. Okay. Like when people offer me stuff, I'm like, did that before. No. Oh, I don't know how. Oh, I don't know how. Okay, let's go.
Okay. We're going to find a way.
We going to find a way, or we're not.
Right.
We're going to find out that wasn't what we do.
Right. That's true too.
And we'll know that was one we don't do.
Oh my God.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Tell me a failure that turned out in hindsight to be one of the best things that ever happened to you. Something that was the worst thing. And when you look back, you're like, actually, that was a really good thing that happened.
It was probably the first time I had my heart broken. Back in my early 20s, I was so in this relationship. It was... I thought for sure I had found my husband. I was just as in love with his family as I was with him, just in my early 20s and thinking I had it all figured out until he told me that I actually didn't. And it broke me in a way that I had never experienced depression before. I'd never experienced that kind of low. And because of that moment, that's when my art really kind of took off. When I found myself alone and sad and fearful, that's when I really first started journaling. And when I first started finding strength within myself and not within others, I think I often would latch out for codependent relationships to help get me by. And that was the first time that relationship failing was the first time that I actually had to learn how to stand on my own two damn feet. And that's when my career really took off too. Mm-hmm. I found a focus that was inside of myself, and not outside of myself, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hope you'll listen back to this. That was kind of profound.
Ooh, I just felt it. I felt this calm come over me in a weird way. Yeah. And what's even better is that I've come back to be his friend. It's been over a decade since we broke up, and we talk a lot on social media, and we support each other in our artistic endeavors. And it took a decade for me to be able to actually be friends with him again. But now that we are, it feels right, you know? It feels good.
What is your message to your family in this moment where some people are biting their nails? I'm sure that your family is biting their nails and going, Trump better win it, or the Supreme Court better give it to them. And the Supreme Court may well give it to them.
Ain't that the truth? My message to my family is I'm not looking back. I left Texas at age 17 and I didn't look back. I have called my family out publicly on how racist we are, and I am not looking back. I'm here to push shit forward. That makes them uncomfortable, and they want me to apologize and to appease and to be quiet. I'm not in the business of doing that. I can't be. I won't be. And if it means that relationships in my family falter because of it, then that's them stuff, not me stuff. I know that they will be on the wrong side of history when all is said and done. When all of these old racist white people die off, the young Gen Zs of this world are going to rise up. They already are creating change. They get it way more than we do. And that's because they have this phone that's teaching them things that we didn't get to learn about. So yeah, it's either get on the train or, I don't know. I'm not looking back, I guess, is really.
And what's your message to the next little third grade gay Jay?
My message to the next little third grade gay Jay is, have fun.
He's crying himself to sleep every night.
He might be, but he didn't. He has that phone. He's got RuPaul's Drag Race.
Todrick Hall.
Fucking Hall. You know, he has so many more mentors than I could even have possibly imagined. I think the only mentor that I really had was the villain in Silence of the Lambs.
That is crazy right there. I'm looking up. What was his name too?
Actor?
No. The character was Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bill.
So you know, I'm feeling good about the new gay Jay in the third grade. Their future looks bright to me because my future looks bright to me. I mean, I've always lived life thinking positively. And so I'm feeling good about this new generation. They're pushing me for sure. I mean, I love hearing the kids here in New York City. You know, you're not cool if you consider yourself any gender or sexual orientation. You know, they're like, you're too young to even know what you like. Like, how dare you even say that you're straight? You don't know that yet. Like, that's how lit these kids are these days.
Ooh, yes. I just watched a movie yesterday called Shakedown. Find it. It is about the women in the clubs in LA who were way before Megan Thee Stallion, where they are dancing, but for women. So it's the BOI culture, the women who consider themselves men and they don't want a lesbian, they want a woman. Mm. And the freeness and the natural bodies, it's so worth seeing because it's that 70s, 80s, 90s music and the it's so inspiring. Okay. You know, what safety can look like when a community gets together and makes a sacred space for them to do their thing. You know, of course, the police are harassing them and shutting them down and all of that. But what they created for themselves to celebrate, you know, their lives and sexuality. Here's a question I want to ask you because you've been on, you know, you said it's feast or famine. You've been on a TV series, a very successful TV series. So that's a big money gig. Broadway's a big money gig. How do you live your life financially? Is it like, I got a lot of money, I'm going to spend a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money. How do you do that?
I kind of take it day by day, but the fact of the matter is, as I've got 5 Broadway shows, a really great television show under my belt, and I'm still in student debt. So,
You know, oh my God.
And people kind of freak out when they hear that because they think that I probably own an apartment in New York City and that I'm rolling in the dough and that, you know, I have to, that's actually not true. You know, I'm collecting unemployment right now. That's how I'm getting by. And teaching gigs is really kind of my way of making extra money on the side, getting some money in my Venmo account by, mm-hmm. you know, teaching acting or teaching voice. To the young artists of tomorrow, you know, mm-hmm. That's how I make money when I'm not actually working is teaching. I really love mm-hmm. teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people really want to know how are we going on? Like people want to know how do we, and for me, I feel like my power place has been to find a standard of living that I can always live. And if there's more that comes in, I use it to invest in things I want to create. So I'm not having to go ask for money, but my standard of living is so simple that I could live on unemployment and pay my bills so that I'm not forced to be a wage slave because I have a lifestyle I have to maintain.
Right. Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. Especially when Quantico happened, I was finding myself with lots of money that I had not really ever been used to. And I was also finding that I wasn't getting any other jobs when we were in between shooting seasons. And so I used the money to create,
to live
and to create. Mm-hmm. That's when I started producing concerts. And that's when this Halloween thing came to fruition. Cause I had a little bit of money to pay a wig artist and a costume artist and a makeup mm-hmm. artist to do me up for fun one night, you know?
It has been such a pleasure, You're going to have to hook me up with Tyra Cole because I got to talk to Tyra Cole. Oh, I'm such a fan, so I got to talk to Tyra Cole. Okay. So I'm going to hit you up about that.
Absolutely.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to say to the people of, you know, on the Broadway Podcast Network? Anything I didn't ask?
Tanya, you're so damn good at this. No, there's nothing that you didn't ask. I'm just happy to have these conversations with you and that you reached out to me to have these kinds of conversations. I look to you as... one of the smartest people that I've ever come across. You challenge me in ways that I've been challenged a lot this year, but you're continuing to push it. So I just want to thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm so excited about Red Pill.
Oh, red pill. You know, I might have to sneak you a little rough cut to let you just see.
Now you're speaking my language.
I might just sneak you a little. Actually, I sneaked a little one to Jeremy O'Harris out in Europe right now. I was like, Jeremy, look at this week and tell me what you think. Amazing. So I might have to sneak you a little rough cut. It, you know, the music and color and all that isn't done, sure. But
I can't.
It's kind of exciting.
I would love
you know. Because I love horror, but my daughter and I's horror victim. If they're screaming and people are getting slashed, she happy. Sure. I'm like, no, I got to be thinking about something. I got to have something I'm trying to figure out. I got to be learning something, right. You know, wondering. Because you know in a horror movie, there's a monster, everybody going to die, and you're rooting for the monster. So that's a foregone conclusion.
That's right.
What else is keeping me staying here? So I think I did that. I call it the Black Woman's Get Out.
Cool.
And
yeah.
Okay. I'll sneak you a little rough cut to look at.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jay. This is Tanya Pickens. You are listening to You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network with my guest, Jay Armstrong Johnson.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important. You is dead. Tanya Pinkins' horror film, Red Pill, brings African-American perspective to progressive movement.
We are a majority in this country. And we're going to win the election.
Do you know what the red pill is? A red pill is someone who infiltrates a group and then destroys them from the inside. Place is spooky.
Some people like to live dangerously.
Cass, why are you so jumpy tonight?
You know what, guys? I'm gonna go back tomorrow.
Did you hear about the creature woman that attacked a father and son hunting down here?
I don't see the case. This place creeps me out.
I think we should call the sheriff's office.
People missing or dead are brown people.
They're after all of us.
What do we do, Amelia?
We die. But we take some of them with us.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Say That, the show where you can. I'm Tanya Pinkins, and You Can't Say That is part of the Broadway Podcast Network, produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Derek Gunther, with music by Kat Dale. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast highly wherever you stream. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Tanya Pinkins, and to learn more, visit bpn.fm/YCST. Stay safe.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.